My poetry has been my spirit guide. It was through my poetry that I became aware of my spirituality as something to value and to cultivate. My poem, The Indwelling, emerged bearing an extremely important lesson. Wake up from dreaming that you are not God. I discovered soon thereafter that this message happens to be one of the four Toltec wisdoms. The speaker in the poem, The Indwelling, awakes from dreaming that he is not God. That is to say, he becomes aware that he has been living without full knowledge of his own creative potential and spiritual nature. In a self-abnegating trance, virtually asleep at the wheel of his life, even though that life is already in progress. This unfortunate state of affairs is only perpetuated by the speaker's attention being focused somewhere over there rather than here in the present moment. In our creative and intentional universe, the present moment is where it's at, the ultimate event horizon, the point in space and time at which our futures are created by our present thoughts and actions. Consider the possibility that your thoughts, of gloom or purposefulness, of dread instead of cheer, of worry versus daring do, are the wands of your personal magic, creating what happens next. What happens next is rarely just life randomly presenting itself to us, but is usually a call coming from inside the house, from inside you. The importance and urgency of it is made quite clear in the opening lines of this poem. When did I become such a willfully neglectful, capricious God, withholding rain, preoccupied with errands and some ill-fitting illusion of self, with my attentions diverted there rather than here? The indwelling suggests that your cells are a population of living beings whose health and welfare is dependent upon the quality of your attention, insight, personal habits, and mindfulness. It is the spiritual made literal. Another important lesson brought to me by a poem as a messenger from the soul is learn why the Buddha smiles. This is important because posture just might be destiny. A dancer or caricaturist can convey volumes about plot and character with just a gesture or a pose, the greedy hand-wringing, or the proud and high shoulders, or the hand to the head and woe. Sometimes the uptight person looks it, and so does the happy-go-lucky person. A smile is a posture choice, among many other things, and one of the simplest but most profoundly transformative things you could ever do. Smiling sets in motion a magical chain reaction in the metabolism, and countless benefits are yours if you'll just smile. Smiling increases your inner vibratory level by facilitating the flow of life-preserving chi energy throughout your body and its immediate vicinity. A smile also demonstrates your knowledge that, ultimately, no situation or problem or crisis is superior to you and the power of your essential purring contentment, or, as put in my poem, 2012, Anno Domini Nostri Jesu Christi, I know why the Buddha smiles. There is metabolic magic in that posture. The flowing, the chi, the rushing past, the carrying off. My head is gloriously empty now. This poem was an important reminder of our own transformative power and an assertion that it could easily be provoked at will. Last fall, I had a 2-week residency at the Weymouth Center in Southern Pines, North Carolina. On that sandy terrain, it was the stands of pine trees which caught my eye upon my arrival at midnight. These pines are stark, strong, and bone straight, with no branches or needles until about 2 stories up. The image reminds me of my first and most definitive spirit guide, my maternal grandmother, Eva Corinne Imes Wilson, a religiously devout creature who managed to be guileless. My grandmother taught me as much as my poetry has. On paper, to most people, she is just an African-American woman from the woods of North Carolina who never learned how to drive, who cooked a lot, and who went to church a lot. However, for those of us who knew her, she was magic. Her religious devotion was sincere and markedly different from the tragic mess that religion appeared to make of human life on the news. When Iranians moved into our town around the time the Ayatollah called America the Great Satan, she did not organize days of hate or outfit us with suitcase bombs. Her religious devotion was something that carried her spirits and humanity up, not down. To be in her presence was to have your humanity stoked, brought to the fore, and lifted up too. So for me, poetry is not just a luxury or fluff. Poetry is as practical as it is lovely and uplifting, as it brings spiritual sustenance and advice to my daily life. I believe that each of our souls is called. Listen to the wind for word.